Well, this is a special day. It's a day of answered prayer. Our beloved Dot is here with us. She has gone through the valley, and the Lord has answered our prayer. And what a smiling face that is. So glad you're here with us, Dot. We love you. Okay, let's prepare ourselves this morning. In our usual fashion, we'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled before You, recognizing who You are and what You can do and what You will do. We're so thankful that You are omnipotent and omniscient, full of grace and mercy, but You are also a just God. That brings in a whole arena of things that tend to give us pause. We're studying about Your principles, Your will, righteousness, truth, and justice. We pray that You will open our minds and our hearts to what You have to say to us today through Your Word, and help us to concentrate, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. George, if you'll kill the lights. Can y'all see that? Well, only you can answer that, can't you? No one else can answer that. You know, really, that's what this life is about, is seeking out truth, incorporating it into your soul, and then applying that truth. It's really not that complicated. But in this day and age, it's very difficult to keep your radar focused on truth. But without it, we're lost. We're lost spiritually, and we're lost in every other way as well. Become spiritually mature is not optional for believers. It's required. It's commanded. Now, that would be a newsflash for a lot of believers, because they think that they can just take the line of least resistance and try to do the least amount they possibly can and to get by. And that's fine and dandy. But it's not fine and dandy with God. He requires us, commands us, to get out of spiritual kindergarten. Therefore, settling for anything less is disobedience. So choosing to remain spiritually immature is a sin. We live in extraordinary times. Satanic forces are ruthlessly attacking on every front, so we must be ready to meet the challenge. We must fight just to keep from being led astray. Even just to hold your ground these days takes a fight. But God doesn't expect us just to hold our ground. He expects us and commands us and enables us to become overcomers even in the devil's world. And you cannot do that in ignorance. We should be taken of every opportunity to fill our minds with knowledge and truth. When we don't, we lose. And America is losing big time today because of the apathy and indifference and fear and people settling for less than freedom. We lose the chance to honor and glorify Christ because we are not prepared for the challenges and tests that are surely coming our way. And if you don't know that unbelievable challenges are right around the corner, then you're not paying attention. And you're probably part of the problem than the solution. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Present active imperative. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Does that apply to us today? What does sober mean? Sober just doesn't mean that you're not a drunk. It doesn't mean that you don't go on a 5-day binge every other week. It's talking about serious. Be serious about what is really important. And don't be distracted. Our society is cotton candy. It's all about entertainment and it's all about emotions. If that's all you are about, if that's what most Americans are about, we will not survive. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, he's telling about something that he had taught them, and you shouldn't be able to make decisions and understand things based on what you know now. Beforehand means before the balloon goes up, before a disaster hits. So, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by error of unprincipled men that fall from your own steadfastness. You have to be careful of that. You know, all you have to do in order to fall from your steadfastness is nothing. That's all it takes. Just keep on keeping on, not growing in grace and knowledge and reaching spiritual maturity. And don't be a seeker of truth just by the mainstream media and everything, all the lies that are just promulgated upon you every day. You don't have to do anything and you will fall from your steadfastness. It's guaranteed. So don't be carried away by the error of unprincipled men. Do we have that in spades in America today? And fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace. That grow in grace is another present, active, imperative, a command. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, most believers don't even know that it's possible to grow in grace. They settle for common grace. We're God's children. He's going to provide for our needs. They have no idea that there is a greater grace that is available. And it's because of ignorance. They don't know and they don't care to know. It's willful ignorance. But the Bible tells us of a greater grace. We call it super grace. And you can grow into that super grace, but only by, what does it say? Knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge enables you to be successful. Real successful. And I'm not talking about necessarily financial. I'm talking about being a worthy ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 1:28 and 29. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Look at this. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. I dare say that most of the people in America today fear the government more than they do the Lord. And we will pay dearly for it. Proverbs 2:2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. All of these, by the way, are in the imperative mood. They're commands. John 3:32. Y'all have heard this. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? I want to hear it loud. Make you free. Right. Do you know that if you remain in ignorance, then you're a slave. You're a slave to something or somebody, you can be assured. But it's the truth. And we're not only talking about truth regarding soteriology, which is salvation, or Christology about Christ, or pneumatology, which is about the Holy Spirit, and on and on. We're talking about truth wherever it exists. Therefore, we all, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be truth seekers. Big time truth seekers. And I'm going to ask you some questions today. Of course, you don't answer those, but I mean, out loud. But you're to ask yourself the things that I'm going to ask here shortly. If you're not nourishing your soul, your mind and soul with truth and knowledge every day, you will falter because the times are evil. Does everybody agree that the times are evil? No argument there, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk. And of course, it's not talking about using a cane or anything like that. It's talking about the way you live. Be very careful. Be deliberate in the decisions that you make. Not willy-nilly. Not just going along with the crowd. Be very careful how you live your life. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Wisdom, by the way, comes from the Bible. You can get intelligence and you can gain maybe a few points in your IQ or get a amount of knowledge going to school, but the Bible has a monopoly on wisdom because wisdom comes from God. Verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And I would highlight this. Make the most of your time. Every day that you're on this earth and you're not pursuing diligently truth, then you're not redeeming the time. And you're losing out to the degree that you are apathetic to truth. Because all truth comes from God wherever it's found. Truth and Knowledge goes out from CBC here at Country Bible Church three times a week. We have it on Sunday today, we have it on Tuesday, and we have it on Thursday. So 3 days a week, you can even stay at home if you can't make it here and live stream. It's better to be here. There's nothing like face-to-face and being with the royal family. But you can get it three times a week. I have encouraged and exhorted you to take advantage of the gold mine of learning on the Britel Broadcasting Network. The Christian Way of Life Church is the name of Dr. Jim Britel's church in Maumelle, Arkansas. And he's on the air nearly every day with phenomenal information and knowledge. If you don't know how anything about it and you want to get plugged in, then just go to www.tcwolc. That stands for the Christian Way of Life Church. tcwolc.org, and it'll take you to his website. And what you can do is just scroll down on the homepage all the way to the bottom, and it says contact information. His phone number is there, and his email is there. And if you say, I want to find out what I need to do for you to send me emails, that all I have to do is click on the link that you give me, and I can live stream, I can participate in whatever you want to do, with the tremendous knowledge that is going out from his website. Here's his schedule. On Mondays from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time, he interviews me about my book, Tolerating Tyranny, Security Sought and Freedom Lost. And as of late, we haven't been doing too much talking about my book because we've been talking about the pressing issues of the day. You'll see in red down here a little lower. This isn't. Let's see if I can bend it a little bit. There. Danny, you're losing your job. Okay. Now, starting tomorrow, I won't be on his show in Monday morning because he's teaching the seniors some kind of course on Monday. It's the only time he could do it. And so I'm going to be on from 9 to 10 on Tuesdays for about 6 weeks, something like that. I'll let you know when it changes. So your pastor is interviewed every Monday up to this time. Now it's going to be Tuesday about his book. And what we go over is could not be more timely, crucial. And I can assure you that every time that you tune in, you're going to learn something you didn't know before. So what I want to do is want to know what's more important than that on your Monday agenda at between 9 and 10. Silence. I didn't expect you to speak anyway, but I want you to think about it. I know some of you young people and college students probably are in class and all during that time. But everything that is on this schedule that you see is recorded and it's on Podomatic. And if you just contact Dr. Jim and say, this is my email, I want all the Podomatic, or give him a call, he will set you up. And it makes it easy. You don't even have to remember. He sends you the link. Boom. On the days that... There's a few days that you can't get it by going to our website, but it's so easy. You can just go to countrybiblechurch.us, which is our website, and right on the front page under live streaming, we have the live streaming link for here, and we also have the live streaming link for his. So at Monday at 9 or Tuesday at 9, whenever it is, you can just go to our website and access it. But if you go to him, he'll send you the link and remind you. So at Monday evening from 7 to 8:15 is the MNHBS. The HBS is Home Bible Study. Does anybody know what the MN is? I know he's doing it from Maumel. Monday night, okay. Monday night, Home Bible Study. And that varies, but again, you're going to be able to learn something going there. And then on... Where's IQ? Oh, okay, I sure did, didn't I? Okay, here's IQ Rizzulli. Have any of you ever heard IQ Rizzulli? Oh, all right. That's good. More than I thought. He's a unique guy. He's got a kind of a rough accent. But if you hang in there and really concentrate, you can learn more about Islam and Muslims than you can probably anywhere else on the planet. He is phenomenal. So we have... Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30 is Michael Eubanks, and this is in the PM. This is an understudy of Dr. Jim. He's a pastor, and Dr. Jim has kind of taken him under his wing, and he has that time slot. On Wednesdays, 8 to 9, is with Bill Ryle. Don't miss Wednesday at 9. If you do... Well, I'd like to say you're going to be kicking yourself in eternity from now on, but I can't say that. But you are not going to be prepared. You're not going to be able to be a good and faithful servant in every area if you miss these opportunities. Because he's teaching what you didn't learn in school. And if you think you got a good education in school because you made good grades, you have a lot to learn yet. Because what he teaches is what they didn't teach you in school, which is absolutely essential to be a free, independent person in our country and in our society today. You don't want to miss that one. And then Wednesday night, there from 7 to 8, Dr. Jim and Michael come on. And just to give you an idea, last Wednesday, that you don't know for sure what the topics are, but recently... His topics has been similar to mine, which is about our country going to hell in a handbasket. And he was going over the 14th Amendment, the history of it. And I was riveted the whole time. They're teaching the history that they don't teach in school. I don't know, unless you're a homeschooler, in any of the public schools, nowhere in the country are you going to get this kind of training. And it is undistilled, pure truth that you didn't get. Thursday at 10 is Chaplain Steve Haynes. He's a chaplain for racers. I'm talking about car racing. Down-to-earth guy, and he and Dr. Jim just talk, and they're talking about the issues of the day. Listen, for any of these that I'm talking about, I would pay to get on them. That's how good they are. Of course, Dr. Jim is like Country Bible Church. We don't charge for truth. But it's this on? There it is. Okay. Thank you. Okay, and then Friday at 10 a.m., Dr. Jim does, you never for sure what he's going to do. And then on Sundays at 8:30 to 9:30 is their church service, and so they had that this morning. And right now, Dr. Jim is teaching the Sunday lesson. There's two, it's a part one and part two. And so, it's done already? Wow.
Test.
Yeah. Thank you. The only one that I would say maybe you might want to miss is the last one. For obvious reasons, hopefully. Here are a couple of excellent magazines that I have recommended to you. The Berean Call. You can go to BereanCall.org to subscribe. Phenomenal magazine. I've taken it for probably 20-something years. And if you haven't ever seen it, just do it. Or you can call them. I forget, some of us are not online. But if you're not online, I mean, if you don't have a computer or you're not online, ask somebody who is to give them your address and information so that they can send it to you for free. Or you can get it online as well. Grace in Focus. I was going to bring my copy this week. Grace in Focus is by GES, Grace Evangelic Society. Dr. Bob Wilkin is the founder of that. The magazine is 48 pages now. And it is not for the theological lightweights. It's some really thought-provoking articles he has in there, and you can learn from it as well. There are excellent websites that I've recommended to you. This one I would, of course, Country Bible Church. I happen to like this one the best. Now, sheriffsbrigadeofpenn.com. If you don't write anything else down today, write this down, because it's kind of a long website address, but I'll spell it for you. Because some people would just be getting this on the CD. sheriffbrigadesofpenn.com. That's sheriffbrigadesofpenn.com. The pen talking about Pennsylvania. There is a gold mine of information there, and it's organized very well. Bill Ryle is the one that I said you don't want to miss on Wednesday. And you can go to his website here. You click on resources on the home page. You click on the resource button and then on additional documents by William Tyler Ryle. You can go to other places, but this is where I think you will benefit the most, at least at first. Okay? SavingAmericasFreedom.org. There's no hyphen there. SavingAmericasFreedom.org. This is one of Dr. Jim Brittell's websites, and it is loaded with information. ToleratingTyranny.com. That's the website for my book with the same name. By the way, I hope all of you by now know how to advise people how to order this book. We have a few copies here in the church, but when someone is talking about the government, which probably is just about all the time these days. Are you not missing a phenomenal opportunity by saying, do you know my pastor wrote a book on the issues that we're talking about? It's called Tolerating Tyranny. And you can go to toleratingtyranny.com and order it, or just go there and look at it, see what you think. Are y'all missing those opportunities, or are you alert? Are you vigilant? Are you redeeming the time? BibleHub.com. This site has advanced tools to study the Bible. That's BibleHub.com. And you'd be amazed. Now, I have very sophisticated Bible software, which is called Logos. Huge learning curve. But this is much easier. It's a little simplified, but it's got some really powerful tools for you to go more in-depth in the original languages if you want to, commentaries, a lot of things there that will help your Bible study. DeanBible.org, D-E-A-N-B-I-B-L-E .org. This is, of course, Dr. Robbie Dean, pastor of West Houston Bible Church. And he has several great resources, including the Schaefer Theological Conferences are on there as well. DeanBible.org. And then there's our church library. We have books and DVDs loaded with knowledge that you need to know. We have DVDs of the many conferences that your pastor has attended. On the top shelf, there's little, I don't know what you call them, cases. And on those cases, usually on the spline, it'll say the Schaefer Conference or the Pre-Tribulational Conference in Dallas. There's a number of them in there. And when you open that, there's a little index to tell you what each DVD is about. And you can take out any of them you want to. There's a card to leave behind there. And whatever issues are covered that interest you, phenomenal. If people would turn off that idiot box and start feeding their soul, investing their time in redeeming the time by learning and growing, things would start to change. There's a reading list of books that has that he, talking about your pastor, has read and recommended. Have you checked it out? Do you even know that there's a reading list back there? Have you read any other books? Let me tell you something. When I was going through school, all the way through high school, but especially in elementary school, a little bit better by the time I got to high school, but you would nearly have to tie me down and hold me down to get me to read a page, much less a book. I wasn't interested in books or reading at all. I was interested in girls, playing football, and lunch. Those were number one on my hit parade. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's the way it was. Sounds like some of you maybe could identify with that. I don't know. But it was after school, after I left college, that I started having a voracious appetite for knowledge, and the way to feed that is reading. Read, read, read. And now I can't get enough of reading. And I'm not talking about reading novels. I'm talking about reading to find out what the truth really is. Because, folks, I don't know if you've realized it or not, but your whole life you've been lied to. And you don't even find that out until you're a truth seeker and you start reading and you say, wow, I had no idea. And a lot of people go through life and they just, if I read, I might learn something, then I might have to do something. I don't think so. So they wind up to be perfectly qualified to be excellent slaves. All of these resources, all of these wonderful resources are available to you absolutely, and you can't see it. I don't know why the yellow didn't come down. Do you see the free there? The red? Yeah, thank you. I don't know, somehow it wasn't like that last time I saw it. But anyhow, all of what I've told you is absolutely free. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save you from living a wasted, useless, meaningless life that will result in abject slavery. And the way to do it is to be a truth seeker. Because knowledge is powerful. And the truth fulfills your soul like nothing else. That's why we love the Bible. Because it is truth. Now we're going to continue with part three of Will America Survive? Now you might be thinking, I didn't even know we had part one and part two. Well, we did. It just wasn't named this yet. The first one was. This was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, right after the Supreme Court decision was made, I started a message that I entitled, Will America Survive? And then last week, I had a message, Is America at War with God? Remember that? And now this week, I decided, there's going to be several of these, at least four, maybe more. So I said, I need to put them all under one heading. So we are on Will America Survive, Part 3. And I was looking at this morning, I thought, if you look at that closely, you might recognize that it's not very optimistic if you look at the first letters of each word. Was. Past tense. Anyway. Now, somebody may be wondering, why are we focusing on the recent Supreme Court decision? Aren't we supposed to just study the Bible? I don't know if there's anybody here thinking that, but just in case there might be, I'm addressing it. First of all, you can't be a good Christian if you are a lousy citizen, not knowing or caring about freedom and not standing firm for justice and righteousness. Now, I don't know if you can see it, but in smaller print here, just to remind me, I say, voting alone won't cut it. Don't think you're a super citizen because you vote. Because most people vote in ignorance. They don't know the issues. They like the way the guy looks. They like the way he speaks. The integrity, whether he's going to be constitutional or not, doesn't even enter the picture. Most people, even Christians, vote for the lesser of two evils. And what do you get when you vote for the lesser of two evils? Evil! And don't let them say, oh, well, you're just throwing your vote away. Well, I'd rather throw my vote away by voting for someone I can support than voting for someone who is just going to further the evil course, only not as bad as some others. So, you're not a good citizen just because you vote. It takes a lot more. One of the things it takes is, listen closely, knowing the truth. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Because if you don't know your rights, you don't have them. And also, you combine all that with the Bible. Because the Bible is chock full of instructions and information about how we are to deal with our rulers. There's never been a time in history where people have lost their civil freedom without also losing their religious freedom. It doesn't happen. If you can't see that we are right there, right now, about losing our religious freedoms, then you're part of the problem. Christians are in the world, but not of the world. Have you ever heard this? Sometimes this is often used as an excuse to avoid getting involved in political or governmental issues. Oh, we're Christians. We don't dirty our hands in worldly issues. In fact, we have some people who claim that you're really not trusting God if you get involved with the issues of the world. I was at a conference, a Schaefer conference in Houston, I don't know, a number of years ago, 3 or 4, something like that. And the whole conference was about the Christian's relationship with government. And one guy came up there and he was one of the main speakers. He was a Christian. He was a lawyer. And he said, the only thing that we are required to do regarding government is to pray for it and unconditionally submit to it. And I nearly passed out. I couldn't believe he said that. And he was the main speaker. I had to go like this. You ever felt like that? I don't know. Maybe I'm stepping on toes. Maybe that's some of the ideas that somebody will hear this. You need to learn a lot if that's your attitude. Because if that was the case, if being a Christian restrained you from doing what is right and standing for truth and righteousness, and if God commanded us to do that, and if Romans 13 tells you that you have to submit to government no matter what, the only thing I can say is that we don't have a gracious God. We don't have a just God. We don't have a righteous God, if that's true. Because Romans 13 is Paul giving instructions of how a civil government is to operate. Twice it says, as ministers of God, just as I'm a minister of God, those who are in government are ministers of God as well for good. And when they are acting in that capacity, it is required for us to submit to it. But when it is not, we are not to submit to it. In fact, we are to obey God rather than man. And that message is not getting out, and there's so many Christians that are taking that as a loophole because they don't want to do anything anyway, and this is their little quaint little escape hatch. Oh, well, we've got to obey government. Christians engaging in the fight to stay free is not prohibited, it's mandatory. Anybody ever tell you that? Oh, well, you know, you get all mixed up in the country and freedom and justice and rights and all that. Well, that's distracting. We need to just stick with the gospel. Really? I'm not saying the gospel isn't important. But the problem in this country isn't that the gospel is not getting out. The problem is that pastors are failing to teach the whole realm of doctrine. They're not teaching the principles found in the Bible about nullification, about interposing between a tyrant and the people, about secession. Did you know those issues are dealt with in the Bible? Do you know where the Bible stands on those issues? Do you know where to go in the Bible to find them? Well, if you don't, how can you make a biblical stand as a Christian against what is happening in our country? How can we be good ambassadors for Christ if we meekly submit to an evil and immoral government that is persecuting our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord? How can we stand idly by if you don't know that it's already happening? Again, you're part of the problem. You don't know what's going on. And if all you get is the turn on the 6 o'clock news, 5:30 news, whatever it is, and you say, oh, okay, well, that's the way things are. You're an idiot. You're foolish. Because most of what you hear today and most of what you've been taught your whole life are lies. I don't know how to make it any plainer. And the only way that you're going to survive, the only way you're going to arise above the slavehood is to acquire knowledge. It's to learn the truth. And if you're not a seeker of the truth, then may the chains lay softly upon you. This is from the back cover of my book. There is a point where forbearance and toleration are no longer a virtue, when authority is no longer legitimate, and when submission is no longer required. And I inserted in here in parentheses that I believe that we are at that point now, today, or right now. If you don't know that, you have things to learn. And you better learn them quick because we don't have much time. Government can become so corrupted by evil that continual allegiance and submission to it becomes evil as well. That's the message that needs to be given out to the people today. Where is the courage? Where is the self-reliance? Where is that independent spirit? One of the problems, well, I'll save that for later. Okay, George, you can turn the lights back on. But I'm not done. Okay, now I'm starting. Will America Survive? Part 3. All of this was taking what I had, I think it was about 4 weeks ago. Are you a seeker? Are you a true seeker? I didn't get through with it, but I just did. Now we're moving on to part 3 of Will America Survive? And where we're starting this today is, what will happen now? Anybody interested in what's going to happen now? Okay. Gird your loins. The court decision that we're talking about on so-called same-sex marriage means that our country will be fundamentally changed and not for the good. Everything will change in the culture, including churches, schools, businesses, the military, and families. The criminalization of Christianity has already started in the land of the free. It's here now. The number of professing Christians in America is rapidly shrinking and may become a hated minority group as it is in the rest of the world. Certainly, people are jumping ship because the ship is sinking. We're in trouble. We need stalwart men and women, Christians who know the score and are unafraid and will obey God rather than man. But there's not many out there like that, so they're jumping ship. The Supreme Court same-sex decision has empowered the LGBT crowd and given them tremendous momentum to harass and sue Christians. People will lose their jobs, their businesses, their homes, and they will be fined and in some cases thrown into prison. Christian persecution has already begun. We are in the same place as where Patrick Henry was. And what did Patrick Henry say? He said, quote, "The war is actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle?" And that's my question to Christians today. I don't hear an outcry. I don't hear a monumental tsunami of Christians demanding that their representatives and their senators and their people in government uphold their oath to the Constitution. It's openly mocked today, and Christians are saying, "Oh, well, you know, what's for dinner?" When Patrick Henry said that, the colonists had already been at war for about a year. That was the Lexington Green and Bunker Hill. Already was the Lexington Green, the shot that was heard around the world. They were fighting a year before the Declaration of Independence came out. And that's what I'm saying. For Christians, why stand we idly here? Where's your voices? Where's your outcry? Consider the following. This is by Whistleblower Magazine, Joseph Farah. And this is what he said, quote, Government entities are openly and unashamedly harassing citizens, teaching and espousing their Christian faith. Elected and appointed officials are intimidating and, yes, persecuting those simply practicing their spiritual beliefs and conviction in the course of their lives. He goes on to say, quote, "The big media, which operate under the same First Amendment protections established to guard the free exercise of religion, have remained virtually silent on the new and increasing wave of persecution and harassment." Because, listen, they are part of the problem. They are corrupt to the core. Everything that you get is filtered through the liberal progressive ideology. And what you don't see and what they don't present is just as harmful as what they do present in a twisted way. Our nation is turning against the very principles on which it was founded. The LGBT militants are demanding that we accept the immorality of homosexuality and same-sex marriage or suffer the consequences which are being administered by our Marxist courts through unconstitutional and immoral and anti-discrimination laws. Did you hear what I'm saying? Our leaders are passing these anti-discrimination laws, which are horrendous. And what I won't get to today, but what it amounts to is that our very First Amendment is under attack. A full frontal attack, and nobody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about, well, that decision was the law of the land. Lie. Well, we have to do what it says. Lie. Well, we can get satisfaction through the courts. Lie. Everything they're saying are lies, but the people don't know it because they're so dumbed down. They don't know the truth. They don't care to know the truth. And it's about time to pay the piper. Give you some examples. Bakeries. In Oregon, Sweet Cakes by Melissa was shut down after declining to bake a cake for a gay wedding. The same thing happened to Masterpiece Cakes in Colorado, Victoria's Cakes in Iowa. These are just samples. I could go on and on. Florists. Baronelle Stutzman, she owns the Arlene's Flowers in Washington, faces two lawsuits for not providing flowers for same-sex wedding because she stood on her Christian principles. Banquet halls. Liberty Ridge Farm in New York, an all-occasion party place in Texas, are coming under the gun for refusing to rent out on religious grounds for a homosexual wedding and reception. Bed and breakfasts are already in the LGBT crosshairs across the nation as well. Aloha Bed and Breakfast in Hawaii. Christian Bed and Breakfast in Illinois, a Wildfire Inn in Vermont. I'm just saving time. I could go on and on. Photographers. Eugene Huguenin of Elaine in New Mexico was fined $6,637 because she refused to obey a court order that said photographers cannot refuse their talents to memorialize same-sex weddings. She said the judge's order would compel her to convey and celebrate someone else's views that were contrary to her own views, and she would not do it. Go ahead, clap for her. Yes. Newspapers will likely be forced to publish homosexual wedding announcement in violation of their existing editorial control over what they may publish. Church ministry and Christian schools and colleges, religious rights and freedom could be suppressed by the so-called constitutional right to homosexual marriage. Can you believe that? These religious entities could be put in jeopardy and criminal penalties could be imposed on their leaders. If that's not an attack on the First Amendment, please tell me what is. Here's a quote from Chuck Baldwin. He says, "You can take this to the bank. There will be hundreds of local and state laws reflecting the Supreme Court of the United States decision and hundreds of lawsuits forthcoming against the people who seek to live by their religious convictions to not directly participate in homosexual marriages. And that means there will be hundreds of court decisions ruling in favor of the plaintiffs, hundreds of arrest warrants, civil fines, prison sentences, and so forth. Anyone who doesn't see this coming is blind. Does it matter to you that these things are going to happen and are already happening? Can you believe that in America, same-sex couples can go to a banker or a photographer that they know are Christian, for whom homosexuality is a sin, and demand a cake or a photograph for their gay wedding, even though there are others who would be glad to fulfill their desire, and then use the courts to compel them to go against their conscience or be fired or imprisoned if they refuse? That is what is happening in America today already. The Christians just yawn. And the pastors. How many pastors are addressing this issue today? I've been listening ever since this court decision was made. And I think, well, I didn't hear anything on the radio. I was told that one of them did. What is more important than this? School districts are being forced to positively affirm homosexuality or lose government funding. Schools have already started, listen to this, gender identity classes as part of their curriculum. So the little girls and little boys could figure out, are they really a girl or are they really a boy? Did God make a colossal mistake in giving them the wrong sex? Christian counseling programs are being kicked out because they oppose homosexuality. If you're a counseling and a homosexual comes to you and you're counseling him to help him understand that this is not genetic and that there are a host of homosexuals or once homosexuals that are now have a family and children and that they help them to extricate themselves from this, they're gone. And if they try to counsel, they're going to be arrested as well. That doesn't say that, but I'm concluding that. Therapists who help young people overcome same-sex attractions are being forced out of the business by lawsuits. Christians serving in government. There is even a proposal to ban Christians if they have ever demonstrated bias against homosexuals from even serving in the government. Oh, you didn't hear that on the mainstream news? I wonder why. Adoption agencies across the country are being forced to shut down because they oppose adoption by homosexual couples. CEOs of companies like the one, his name is Brendan Eich, E-I-C-H, came under fire from the GLBT Gestapo in his stand for righteousness. He is the CEO of the companies he created, which are JavaScript, Mozilla, the maker of Firefox browser, because he stood for traditional marriage. He's gone. TV series. HGTV pulled the plug on a new series called Flip It Forward. You haven't seen this. The reason you haven't is because they discovered that the stars, David and Jason Benham, were Christians who stood for moral and biblical principles. It was a pilot. It was ready to go. And when they found that, it's gone. You'll never see it. Similar stories are true for Duck Dynasty, Phil Robertson's. Remember Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty? He took a stand. Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A, Memories Pizza in Indiana. The Boy Scouts of America. Let me tell you something. The Boy Scouts of America are history. They have no honor to continue to function under they crumbled under the pressure from the LGBT, and they are no longer honorable, and people know it, and so they're trying to make other organizations. If I had a son, there is no way on this earth that my son would continue to be in the Boy Scouts. And I was a scout, but I know that if this was happening when my father was around, I would say adios to the Boy Scouts. These are just a very few examples of the disgraceful assaults that are plaguing the American people already. But it's about to get much worse. You say, how? This is a quote from David Kuplian, Whistleblower magazine. He says, quote, "This revolutionary sexual anarchy movement serves as a radical left's spear tip for, at long last, accomplishing its goal of sidelining and demonizing Christians." If you think this whole thing was about gays wanting to have equality in marriage, come on. Listen, they have mocked marriage, they have mocked the family for years. And then all of a sudden, they're all upset because they want to be married too. It's not about that. What it's about is destroying freedom and Christians. That's what it's about. And this was a stepping stone to that. It has further potential, this sexual anarchy that we're saying. It has further potential more than any other toxic ideology in the world, including Marxism, Islamism, or militant atheism, to permanently corrupt Western civilization's core institutions, marriage and family, as well as its core operating system. Did you hear that? We're talking about this same-sex decision. We're talking about... Do you remember, what was it, a month ago or 2 months ago? I don't remember exactly when it was. But I said that this issue of homosexuality could very well be the death knell for this country. Do you remember me saying that? And I'm not trying to say I told you so. I'm just saying that I could see it back then. But if you can't see it now, well, I don't know if you'll ever see it if you don't see it now. Pat Buchanan said, quote, "Traditional Christianity has been driven out of the schools and the public square and is now being whipped back into the churches and told to stay there." Christians, right? What the line now is, the government is saying, okay, you Christians, you can do your thing in church, but don't go out that church and stand for anything, or else it'll be discrimination and we'll lock you up. That's where we are. Boy, I wish I could go on. But the mind can only hold so much at one time, and our bottoms can only hold so much weight at a time. I did not give you this information for just shock value. You should be shocked if you didn't know that. But it's a challenge for you. Are you a truth seeker? Are you really a truth seeker? Will you set time apart in order to dedicate yourself to bringing you up to speed, not only on these biblical issues, but on the cultural issues, the governmental issues? Do you know your rights? Do you know the Declaration of Independence? You see, what's been happening to a large degree, and I've seen it over and over. Just recently, I was on a phone call, a conference call, where the American Pastors Network had some special speakers, and they were addressing this issue of the same-sex marriage. And I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of people won't, but I know it's true. They made a mistake of having lawyers come in and speak at these places. Now, it's not that I hate lawyers. But here's the problem. Every lawyer that I've ever talked to said that they learned squat, nothing, in all their law schools about the Constitution. It's all about case law. And by the way, case law is an oxymoron, because you don't get law from cases. You don't continue laws because of precedents. God is the lawmaker. And our Constitution was founded upon Christian, Judeo and Christian principles that come from the Bible. Now everybody, there's so many people that would take an exception to that, but I'm telling you the truth. And so they can only think in terms of courts and cases. But the problem is, what do you do when the courts are making it up as they go? And they're not following the law, and they're corrupt. And what better example than the highest court in the land and the atrocity that they came out with just a few last week sometime? And so you can't... It's not the lawmakers. It's not the lawyers who will take it to court that we need speaking. Because everybody thinks, oh, it's so complicated. Well, we need a lawyer to explain it to us. The Constitution is not complicated. The Bill of Rights is not complicated. The Declaration of Independence is not complicated. And if you study it, and if you internalize what is there, and you add the biblical principles and understanding that we are to obey God rather than man, when you put all that together, then you are an independent, free person. So, who should be speaking to these issues? Well, how about pastors, huh? That's what changed the day in our colonies when they became a free country. It was the pastors that did it. They were called the Black Robed Regiment. And they spoke boldly. And back then, people didn't have all the technology so they could just constantly brainwash themselves with lies, duplicity, and evil. I would love to see Christians rise up on principles, biblical principles that they know about, and again show that free spirit, it's lost, it's gone for the most part of most people. And they just go along to get along. They know, well, this is bad, but that you have pastors, some pastors saying, oh, Romans 13, you got to obey the government. And possibly that's the worst liars of all. I don't know whether it's ignorance, but it has the same outcome. I'm already, people are leaving because I'm about 15 minutes past what I normally am. But I'm passionate about this, and if you're not passionate, and if you don't take every opportunity to learn and grow, we will not continue to be free. I'd like everyone please to bow your heads and close your eyes. Do it. I want privacy here. The greatest freedom that has ever existed in the human race is the freedom from the penalty of sin. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, provided for that on that cross. He died for your sins and my sins, for the sins of the entire world. He was buried, resurrected, and now He offers eternal life to anyone who will trust Him and Him alone. No one else and nothing else. And in the moment that you decide to trust His work on the cross rather than your own works, in that moment, you're born again. You become a royal family member of God. The Bible says, it is for freedom that God set us free. Then you will really understand freedom. You won't be concerned about going to hell anymore because you understand grace. You can do it now simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, Heavenly Father, we live in desperate times even though most people don't know it. And we're not to panic. What we're to do is get prepared. We're not only to prepare for what's coming in this world, but more importantly, being prepared for what's coming in the next. We're so thankful that You have given us this time of grace and pray that You will challenge every one of us to use every minute of it to be prepared. We pray it in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.